right, and welcome to both mics. And of course, right next to me is
it's Mike.
That's right. I'm Mike, and that is Mike, and we have another Mike with us today. It should be 3
a.m. to the party.
It's all mics instead of like both mics.
All mics. I like it. You have to be a mic to get in.
That's a secret prerequisite.
Right? What's the password?
I like it. I like it a lot. You know what I don't like, though? You ever been to Atlanta Airport?
Atlanta? Yeah.
Yeah,
I've been to Atlanta Airport. Whoa, look at that. Graphics. Yes, I've been to that airport.
Yeah, it's a crazy airport. It used to be number one. I say used to be number one, the highest volume airport because, well, it got overtaken with all this pandemic crap that's going on. It got overtaken by Guangzhou Baiyun International Airport in China.
Why do you have to be so racist?
What?
Yeah, exactly. Hartsfield Airport had 42,918,685 passengers. Meanwhile, the Guangzhou Baiyun International Airport in China had 43 million passengers, narrowly beating them out. I want a recount there. I think that's so close. That's within 100,000. They should recount that. They should make everybody go back.
Right? Yeah.
Now, is that people leaving China?
I hope not.
Right? I guess that considers layovers in that airport, you know, coming, going, and layovers.
Yeah, well, like we've talked about before, Atlanta's like a hub, more or less. I mean, people more so changing planes, like Chicago and stuff. Like, I've been to Chicago 5 or 6 times, never been out of the airport.
That's true, same here.
I think I've been out of that airport once.
Yeah. The one in Atlanta, I think it was Continental, which is now part of United, where that was their hub. No, or was it Delta? I think it might have been both of them. But I do remember, God, many times getting on that little subway underneath there and changing terminals and whatnot. But real convenient airport. It was one time I was there with Michael's mother. And we landed, boom, got on the MARTA. We all know what MARTA stands for. So, and believe it or not, it was like a $1.10 to get on the MARTA, and then we just went right downtown, got the Peachtree Center, got out, went upstairs, crossed the street, went into the Westin, had a conference, came out of the Westin, went downstairs, got back on the subway, went right back to the airport.
Wow.
Yeah, it was back in 92, back when Fulton County Stadium was still there. I don't know what's there now, but I remember the MARTA went right by it.
Well, they have MARTA at that airport, but they also have that airport terminal shuttle, and that was one of my favorite things. I used to crack Timo, our friend from RFC, up with this story because I would fly back and forth to Atlanta so often that I got to memorize the voice commands over the terminal train. So every once in a while, I'd play a game with it, and I'd stick my arm out in the doorway, and it would impede the door, and it would say, "We are being delayed because someone has impeded our progress," like real condescending, you know? So I would stick my arm out and I go, "Why aren't we moving?" And the thing would go, "We are not moving because someone has impeded." And people are looking at me like,
"That spins."
I'm having a conversation with the train. "When will we be leaving?" "We will be departing momentarily," you know? So anyway.
Well, you know how the doors now, they have the rod that'll spin instead of putting your hand in the doorway. So you just put your hand on that rod, and it'll keep spinning because it feels the tension. So it'll close one door, the other one will start to close, reopen, and open the other one.
Wow.
I think we're talking about the monorail at a certain theme park here in Orlando.
It's out here as well. The train's out here in Denver International.
Montanga de los Puertos Solos.
Mike, May 3rd. We've been talking about it forever. White Castle's going to be here, opened up, ready to go. 8 a.m. May 3rd.
Yep. I actually saw that article today on Google, and I'm sure they've learned from their mistakes from their pop-up restaurant. And I'm sure they learned their mistakes from opening up in Vegas on the Strip. you know, when they were in Vegas and they opened up and 4 hours later they had to close because they ran out of product. I'm sure they took care of that and tried not to reinvent the wheel and learn from their mistakes.
Who are you kidding? They opened In-N-Out out here and had the same freaking issue. The only difference is they added a side of COVID.
Yeah. In-N-Out, the most overrated burger restaurant on the planet. Burger's decent.
I'm excited for some
horrible, horrible. I've had better French fries. Ugh.
Well, they say one of the things they're going to do to help make sure service is quick is they're going to cap your order to 60 burgers.
Yeah, that I saw.
I didn't know people were going in there ordering like, I'll have 400 burgers.
Well, you know, when you smoke enough pot, everything's tasty. And they're sliders for a reason. Easy to munch on. Just
the they actually have what's called the suitcase. And it's a cardboard suitcase of 30 burgers. And I know people who actually leave L.A. and drive to Las Vegas just for a suitcase of burgers.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. That is a long-ass drive. That is not worth it.
It's not worth getting the craps over.
But, yeah. So, fun story about frickin' White Castle.
Yeah.
When I went back to Jersey in 2013, was working a gig, just left the city, went to White Castle. All right, we're going to grab some food. Giant stack of burgers. It's like, yeah, I'm going to regret this later.
Why?
Why do we do it to ourselves?
Because people say it's cool.
Although, ultimately, your sister was the one that lost because it was her bathroom I blew up.
Yeah, you know, remember that movie about Harold and Kumar going to White Castle?
Yep.
My
course.
Mom was trying to find a Christmas gift for my dad's mom, his grandmother, when she was still alive. She used to work at White Castle back in the day. So she picked that up at Target and was wrapping it. And I go, who's that for? And she goes, your grandma. She used to work at White Castle. She's going to like this. And I was like, stop. No.
Your grandma's black?
Yes.
The last time I was in Jersey for the Motley Crue concert in Atlantic City, I flew into Newark about 11:30 at night. And, of course, the only thing that was open in my first stop every time, White Castle. And it was downtown Newark. Probably not the best place to go for...
No, it's not a place you want to be after dark to begin with.
Yeah. That's for sure. But, yeah, it was cool. It was good. And like I said... every time I've gone to White Castle, whether there's one car in front of me on the drive-thru or five cars in front of me in the drive-thru, it's a 25-minute wait.
You know, wow.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah. When I used to pack up at Rainforest Cafe in New York, I would go there because it would be the only place open after 11 o'clock. You know, Pathmark Supermarket and White Castle. And Lord knows I'm not going into Pathmark.
Come on. They got the best strawberries, though.
Oh my God! All right, quick story about the kids. I was working at Pathmark in Rockland County, and I was second shift, and you know, about 7 o'clock or so, I hear pitter patters of little feet. This one over here, and his sister coming down the aisle. Boom, 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 boom. I'm like, kids, and they run right past me. Right into the back room, right into the cooler, and I walk in there, and there's a pallet of strawberries, and you're just nope.
Keyword, there was a
eating strawberries like they're going out of style.
Nice.
Yeah. Ran right past me. No hi, Dad. No FU, Dad. No nothing. Just going to go get some strawberries.
Perfect. I like it.
At least there's no more beatboxing in the pay sign.
Nice. Hey, I'm thinking we're going to start getting paid on Spotify.
Excellent.
Well, what we need to do, though, is we need to be one of these premium podcasts. They're trying to allow their creators to host podcasts on a platform with subscription fees for 2 years without charging them to host the shows. This is going to begin in 2023. The platform will take a 5% cut of all subscriber revenue in 2023.
Nice.
So according to Variety... there's going to be several different platform payment tiers, $2.99, $4.99, $7.99. This is according to thehill.com. apparently they're really trying to cut into what Apple has set up. And we talked about this a little bit before, but that'd be nice. We'll get paid per subscription, huh?
Works for me. And as long as they spell the name right on the check.
Yeah, well, I could care less about, well, I want the money, but I'd rather do a good show. The money will come later, you know?
Right.
Dang. And speaking of Apple.
That gives you 2 years of branding.
Yes. Speaking of that, Apple, did you see what's going on with Apple? Their stock has been on fire, up like 81% in the past year. But I think they're feeling this thing from people like Spotify. Think about it. The past year or so, podcasting has really took off. A lot more people are using podcasting and using social media and using all these different platforms they haven't used before. So everybody's trying to take a piece of the pie. You know, Spotify works with the other creator platform we have, Anchor.
Okay, and, right. Anchor.fm?
That's right. We're on there.
Special
we're on
mics.
Yeah, we're on just about everywhere. Where are we on? Let me see here. Hang on. There we are. Well, as you see, we're on Apple, of course, but we're on just about everywhere there, so you can find us. But anyway, we're on Twitch right now. We're live on Twitch, so this is a good place for us to be. I'm happy with this Twitch thing. But Apple, let me get back to Apple here. Apple's being sued lately. They're just all over the news every time I turn around. So they're saying they have, last Thursday, Apple announced its podcast subscription service. And their podcast subscription service is going to be $19.99 a year, for the whole year. Meanwhile, Spotify is charging $3, $4, $7, $8 a month. So is Apple just going to try to muscle them out by price, you think?
Yeah, buying the market. Yeah. Well, that's what iHeartRadio did. They bought the market. You know, they bought up every podcast they possibly could and letting everybody stream. And self-proclaimed number one for podcasts in the world.
Well,
works for me.
Remember,
you know,
people are going to get your diehard fanboys. We're going to stay Apple always. Doesn't matter how much or how little they'll charge you, they'll still stick there. And they're also the same knuckleheads that'll wait three blocks in a line to get a new phone. That they've just bought one for
$1,200. People still do that?
Yes, they do. Launch days are ridiculous.
Can't you just pre-order it and have, like, Amazon
have it show up at your house? Yeah. Honestly, that's the thing I love the most is having Amazon send something pre-ordered. Because then I don't have to deal with people.
Right.
Lines suck. Disney taught me that firsthand.
It's funny you mentioned Amazon because Bezos, the alien who's in charge of Amazon, and well, Elon Musk is an alien too. He's the alien in charge of SpaceX and Tesla and all those places. Both these guys are a little bit butting heads a little bit. I guess Blue Origin, I guess that's Bezos' model to Musk, SpaceX, NASA's choice of the SpaceX lunar lander. So Blue Origin and Bezos are calling foul on this whole thing, and they want to get involved. They want to get in the... They sent a 50-page protest to NASA. So my thing is, I think both these guys are aliens anyway. I think they've got all this technology figured out. I don't know. There's just something about these two guys.
Planet. You know, that something you're talking about is Bezos' was that right eye, left eye?
Yeah.
One eye open, one eye squinting. Is it like half stone there? I'm not sure what he's trying to go for.
Maybe he's a part cyborg or part robot, and that's the part that's a robot.
The only part he can open all the way. Honestly, with the SpaceX program, they've done some phenomenal things that I really wish NASA would jump on board with. Especially the retrieval processes that they're doing for the boosters. Completely autonomous. Landing out in the ocean on launch bays. Freaking amazing.
We've talked about it before. I if it wasn't for something that you can actually see, I wouldn't believe it. You know, you're going to send this rocket up in the air. You know, how many miles up in the air? Going to drop off a transport of some sort, and then you're going to come back down and land on essentially a postage stamp out in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. It's unbelievable. And then they did two of them at the same time. I was like, really? Like it gave me the thought. Finally, that, you know, if you can dream it, eventually you can, you can do it. You know, if you can do motivated. That shit, you can do anything. It's crazy. Well,
the first aircraft took flight on Mars 2 weeks ago.
I don't know how they did that either, with a freaking 8-minute delay.
Yeah, I mean, you want to talk about the biggest clench factor ever is landing that rover on Mars, having to wait 12 minutes to find out if you just cratered that son of a gun. And there goes billions of dollars, or not.
Yep.
That had been the biggest sigh in that command room, that they didn't just destroy their last 3 years of progress.
Right.
I mean, these guys are doing some phenomenal things, and quite frankly, I wish more of our people would get off their rear and start doing things that other people don't want to do.
Would it have been job security if they wrecked it and we have to start
over? Oh, God, no. They'd all be fired.
3 more years of work. Yay!
Where's the jackass that measured this in feet instead of meters?
I find this whole thing with Blue Origin and SpaceX kind of curious, because in May 2020, this is according to Gizmodo.com, Blue Origin, in partnership with Lockheed Martin, Northrop Grumman, and Draper, so all the big defense contractors, had been in running against SpaceX and Dianetics to build... Dianetics, yeah, that's what it's called, Dianetics. Hey, L. Ron Hubbard's group, I guess.
Really?
To build NASA's next human landing system for the upcoming Artemis missions to the moon. In May 2020, NASA awarded Blue Origin $579 million to move its project forward, while Dianetics received $253 million and SpaceX $135 million. So if I was NASA, I'd be calling foul to Blue Origin saying, we gave you almost $600 million in taxpayer funds, and we're going to go with this cheaper route. That's a total waste of money.
We gave you the handicap because you needed more money to get the same crap done. And you're going to cry about it.
It's crazy.
That's what I just heard out of all of that.
Well, I mean, I just heard there's $579 million tax dollars went to a company who's already got more money than most people anyway.
Like,
the rich get richer. What is up with that? All right, Mike.
My thing is, as long as we start progressing forward and we can get some of these knuckleheads off the planet, I think we're good.
Well, they're working on that. We're gonna, these private groups, I think it just cost you $1 billion or so to get the ticket on the first flight. These Virgin, what's the guy that used to be with Virgin, the head guy?
Branson?
Yeah. Don't they have a thing where they're selling space flights that aren't even... Like, they're not even done with the technology yet, but they're already selling the flight.
They're already selling them out. Nice.
Yeah, well, it's like an IPO, I guess. You know, it's you got to raise money somehow.
If you're not first, you're last.
They're talking about doing, what is it, atmospheric travel, where you'd basically go from L.A. to London in, like, 30 minutes by breaching atmosphere and then coming back in. It's like that would make it a lot more bearable. The goal is to make it for about as expensive as flying an airfare.
Yeah, wow. That's crazy though. That's insanity.
So would it be quicker one way versus the other based on the Earth's rotation? Because if you get up to the atmosphere, the Earth is actually turning, so it could actually take you longer
so you
to get
with
there
it
or
to
come
go
back
faster. And then it's like okay, then you got to negotiate: is it going to be faster to go against the world's turn or to go with the world's turn? And if it is, how much of a difference is it?
Well, that's what we've talked about before.
That's the craziness.
Well, we talked about the sillier version of that, where if I'm standing in first class in the front of the plane and I jump in the air, why don't I go back to the back of the plane?
Because you still have the momentum of the plane from when you took off the ground.
That's right.
I wish that was my answer when you asked me that last time. Yeah, no.
But I think, Mike, I think you were correct when you said you could run to the back of the plane quicker.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because at that point, you know, you've launched yourself off. You have the momentum. So you're going to be running. You're going to fight the momentum instead of being – like if you're in zero G, you'd have a different ballgame.
And then my next question was, if the plane's going 500 miles an hour and you run from the back of the plane to the front of the plane at, say, 5 miles an hour, are you really running 505 miles an hour?
You're still moving at only 5 miles an hour. Because your surface is moving. It's like saying if I'm running at 0.5 on a treadmill, am I really running 6-minute mile?
Then how come if I jump off the top of a car going 60 miles an hour, I definitely land past the car? If I'm on a flatbed truck,
they slam on the brakes. But you're also going to lose your terminal velocity. Is one going to be much different than that truck? Two, you're going to start having more wind resistance, and you don't have the forward of the truck, so you're just going to miss the truck altogether and hit the ground, and then get ran over.
All right, so now if I'm in the back of a box truck that's empty and I jump up in the air, I'm still going to land in the same spot.
Roughly.
Right, yeah.
Because you no longer have outside air resistance to work with.
Well, thank you for joining Physics Today, folks. Hope you're enjoying the show. Jesus, how did we get off on that tangent? Here, I'll give you something you can yap about for a while, Mike. Your new Mustang, the EV.
The Mach-E.
Yeah, exactly. Are you liking this new thing here?
Yeah, just for the fact that it's a Mustang, you know? And if I was to go with an electric car, that's the direction I would go in, you know? But I don't know. I think I'm going to need something that's going to be able to tow a boat soon. You know, living here right by the St. John's River in the Atlantic Ocean.
Absolutely.
I think I need something for a boat.
I think you're right. I think you need to call me the day you get that boat.
Well, they say the best day to have a boat is the day you buy it and the day you sell it, right?
And the best boat to own is your friends.
Or sink it.
Yeah.
Honestly, the thoughts crossed my mind several times about when we make the relocation back to Florida is getting a boat. That'll be nice.
Yeah, I'm thinking like 28, 30 foot with a cabin so I can hide downstairs and stay away from the sun.
So if you're going to get a truck, you're going to have to get like a one-ton truck for that, dude, like a 3,500 truck.
He's not getting a truck. Brenda's getting the truck. He's getting the electric car.
You're going to drive a giant dually diesel or something?
Can I pull it with the Mustang? It's a freaking 8-cylinder, 420 horsepower.
I don't know. I would hope you could. They're starting those electric versions in the 50s, like 59 grand.
Wow, that's crazy, man. That's insanity. I bought a brand new car, God, 1990. And my payment was like $155 a month. It's like,
that'd be nice.
Yeah, that's when you could go to the store and get a whole bag of candy for a nickel and a loaf of bread and milk for a dollar and gas was 99 cents. And
no. It wasn't that long ago.
You know, gas being cheap was nice about a year ago when no one was leaving their house.
Right.
And the way the election, everything went through the roof.
Well, you have to lower you have to raise the gas prices after the election because that's where these companies are making their money. They just bribed the political parties. They just got done paying the lobbyists, so it's now time to cash in.
Right.
It's always that way. You'll see, like every year, I always see prices go down from Labor Day to Election Day. Prices go down, then they start to go back up, and then, you know, who knows? It could be worse. I remember we got up to, what, $4 and change at one point? So, you know,
the highest I paid in gas was $5.99 in California.
Jesus.
That's insanity.
Yeah. It was costing me more to drive to work than I was making at work.
Wow.
Wow.
No wonder everyone's leaving California by the droves.
Ouch. Yeah. My buddy, who's a comedian in Texas, moved to LA with all kinds of dreams and starry eyes, and this past year he moved back.
He can't do it.
He was a comedian and no comedy shows going on, so he moved back to San Antonio.
Hey, you know what? He's got plenty of material though.
Yeah, no, he's freaking hilarious, funny dude. Todd Larson, check him out.
Well, we got to have him on sometime.
Yeah. Now he'll come on, that's for sure.
So are you going to buy, you're not going to buy one of these EV Mustangs, Mach-E GT?
No. I might go test drive one, but why would I buy one?
I don't know, they got a performance edition that's going to get its own special badging. Along with 20-inch wheels, Pirelli tires, Ford performance seats, an aluminum instrument panel, and standard magnetohelological dampers, whatever that is. I guess that's for a more fine-tuned ride.
Yeah.
So, of course, they're going to tack on another 20 grand for that package, probably.
Wow.
Brembo brakes, cyber orange paint option. Oh, that's the cyber orange right there.
I do like the orange. I like the color. It looks more gold than orange, but I do like it. And, yeah, dude, I put a tank of gas in my Mustang a couple months ago. I'm worried about the gas going bad. I started like every weekend, you know, and it, I don't know. There's no need for me to have a freaking car.
That performance edition will go 0 to 60 in 3.8 seconds.
I remember when back in the 80s reading that motorcycles can go that fast. That's amazing. 3.8 seconds?
3.8. It rivals Tesla's $62,190 Model Y performance at 3.5. The Model Y performance can go 315 miles on a charge compared to 250 to 200 and 235 for the GT and Performance editions, respectively, of the Mustang. So they still don't have the distance, but they can go just as fast. I mean, 0.3 of a second, what's that? Nothing.
Right? You couldn't blink that fast.
Yeah. That's crazy, yeah. Though.
And the thing is, it's like everything else, you know, rockets landing on postage stamps and all this. This is the direction that everything's going. Eventually, it's going to take over, and that will be the common mode of transportation is electronic, you know, electric vehicles. And everybody will have freaking solar panels on their house. So, you know.
Crazy stuff. Crazy yeah. stuff. Hey, have you, did you pay any attention to the Oscars?
No.
Nobody's paying attention to the Oscars. Come on.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's paying attention to them.
Hey, look, an empty chair.
Hey.
Empty chair with lots to say.
Are you there? Are you sitting in it? What the hell? Who's engineering this show?
No one. That's why the quality is so great.
It's a good run.
All right, so the Oscars here. I look through this stuff here, and there's apparently some movies that we need to see. Did you keep up with any of this? Are you familiar with who was nominated for Best Picture or Best Actor or anything, or no?
Dude, I didn't even know a movie came out this year. I thought they all went to like Netflix and Hulu and that other station and
Disney Plus and HBO Max and horrible writing all around. Yeah.
Well, apparently we have to watch a movie called Nomadland. Because that won Best Picture, it won Best Director, and it won Best Actress in a Leading Role. So that's like a three-way winner for Nomadland.
Nomadland. Okay, I'm going to have to pull IMDb up on this.
Is somebody in it that we would recognize?
Frances McDormand, she just won the Academy Award.
Oh, Frances! It's been a long time.
Chloe Zhao directed it, and it went up against other movies for Best Picture. Here's the other movies, which I can honestly sit here and tell you, I don't think I've heard of any of these, including the winner Nomadland.
I know Bullrat was in there.
One of them was The Father, Judas and the Black Messiah, Mank, Minari, Promising Young Woman, Sound of Metal, and The Trial of the Chicago 7.
Wow.
I haven't heard of any of those. I guess
that
I gotta watch some movies.
Sounded like a documentary. Wow.
Sounds like a snooze fest.
Are we that out of touch? Talking about?
Yes. Yes. And apparently, some people in Hollywood, the fine folks that bring us these great movies, are calling foul over the actor in a leading role, Anthony Hopkins. We've all heard of him. Great actor. He won the Academy Award for his role in The Father. But everyone thought Chadwick Boseman, who happens to be a man of color, should have won for Ma Rainey's Black Bottom. So apparently, there's been some upheaval in Hollywood. They're saying that That's racist.
Of course. Yeah. Did Kanye have anything to say about it?
It's not white enough.
Did he grab
guys.
The microphone?
Apparently, Gary Oldman is in the movie Mank, and that was nominated for Best Picture, so we'll have to see that one for sure. Mank. He was nominated for actor in a leading role.
Isn't that a breed of cat? A Mank?
Yes.
Okay.
And apparently we need to see this Judas and the Black Messiah because it won the actor in a supporting role. It won the original song.
Wasn't it a Disney movie?
So if I don't want to see it, does it make me racist?
I don't know.
That doesn't sound appealing. I mean, out nowadays have such a horrible plot line to them. My 7-year-old can give me a better synopsis, and I'll probably want to see the movie she wants to watch.
Apparently, we need to watch this Ma Rainey's Black Bottom, because they won for makeup and hairstyling, and that's real important when I go to see a movie.
Oh, Lord.
I want to see good makeup.
Unreal.
Mank apparently won for cinematography. Mank apparently won for production design. Sound of Metal, that won Best Sound. So I wonder if that's about rock and roll metal.
Say, are we just banging a steel pot lid? Sound of Metal, ding, 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 ding.
Yes. There was one that I did see an advertisement for. It won Best Animated Feature Film, Soul. S-O-U-L. Soul.
Yeah.
Okay.
Running on that, we're looking at seeing with the kiddos. It looked pretty good.
How was it?
I don't know. I haven't seen it.
I thought you just saw it.
No, I said I see it won. And it won for original score, too.
Oh, okay. Apparently, that was a pretty good one. I'll have to get back with you on that. We'll watch with the kiddos.
When your kids were smaller, did they march around the house singing songs from these movies that they would watch?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, always. How many times did I get in trouble for singing Get the Funk Out?
Yeah, no, good song. Good song. Yeah, no, all the time. It was Lion King was a big thing in our house when Mike was little with his sister. We actually went to Radio City Music Hall to see it, and that was like a staple in the house for years. All those mid-90s Beauty and the Beast, Aladdin movies were the thing.
Yeah, I saw a bunch of VCR tapes I had the other day. I started selling them off on eBay because what am I going to do with a VCR tape?
Do you even have a VCR anymore?
I don't think I do. I got to find one because I got to take some of these family things and link them up to my computer or something and save them. Because I guess I have to find a VHS player to do that.
I actually have a VHS DVD combo in the same machine in our bedroom, but Michael's mother transformed all the home movies from when they were little onto DVDs. So I think
in a box in the closet behind me.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to get on that. Hey, speaking of transferring old stuff, we talked about this before. This guy, Les McCown, Bay City Rollers singer, died at 65. He's your age, Mike.
Nice, yeah. I think I'm 4 days older than you, Mike. Yeah.
Being You're still the older. One here,
being the senior Mike on the program.
Oh, this is the one time I'm okay being the youngest guy in the room.
You don't know the Bay City Rollers, Mike? Michael?
Bueller.
Do you know the Bay City Rollers?
Not off the top of my noggin.
S-A-T-U-R-D-A-Y, Night.
Yeah.
You know? Okay, that you know?
Yes, I do recognize that one.
That is the Bay City Rollers.
Gotcha.
My younger sister in Spotswood, New Jersey, had a overnight party for her birthday when that was a popular song, and those girls played that song all night long. They must have been like 8 or 9 years old, running around the house screaming that song all night. And I'm a year older than these girls, and I was not having any part of it. I was like, but I couldn't go anywhere in the house. They were in every room. They were running around. Right. They were in the basement. They were everywhere.
My sister was a fan of it, and they had a program, Saturday morning program, that revolved around that. And you know, everybody just watched it to listen to that song, you know, because you heard it on the radio, you heard it on the Saturday morning cartoon show. Actually, it wasn't a cartoon; it was live action. But you know, you just couldn't dial it up on your phone. You couldn't get to Spotify and say, hey, you know, play Bay City Rollers. You know, if you didn't have the record.
I think that was the start of the boy band thing, if you think about it.
Well, you can go back even to the Beach Boys, you know? That started, what, in the 60s, 70s?
You think they were a boy band?
They technically fit the definition.
I would think so, yeah. Yeah, you know, it's not like the band Chicago, you know? They were older, but the Beach Boys were really young when they started off. You know?
See, I think
Valley and the Four Seasons.
I think these bands that are artificially put together, like the Monkees.
Right.
You know, bands that are assembled. They're not formed, they're assembled.
Yeah, it might be the Monkees. You know, because the TV was just coming into like color in the 60s when the Monkees came out. So as far as like a produced band, I would say the Monkees would hold it on that one. I don't know if the Bay City Rollers were actually, you know, a produced band. Let's see. Let's Google this.
So going back to that whole Nomad's Land that won the awards.
Yeah.
It's a short film. It wasn't even an actual movie. It was
really?
It was a short documentary.
Oh.
My phone doesn't work in this room.
Man, the standards of the awards have gone. Wait, yeah, here's a kicker. Guess the runtime of it. Guess the runtime.
51 minutes.
27 minutes.
Okay.
51.
What's your guess?
51 minutes.
12
minutes!
12.
We just did 37 minutes. Where's my trophy?
I was just going to ask, how many minutes are we up to? 37 minutes?
12 minutes.
This is what happens when everybody gets a trophy.
Yeah, guys, we're going to Sundance with this. Just Jeez. Cut it and send it.
12 minutes.
Wow. Unreal. Now I'm hoping it was in the right category. I don't think it didn't win for Picture of the Year.
Oh yeah,
minutes.
It did. Oh yeah.
At 12 minutes, it won Picture of the Year.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm out of touch.
I got to see that, because if you wowed people so much in 12 minutes, that's like a bad train wreck. That's why everybody's slowing down for an accident. They don't want to see the bodies hanging out of the cars and stuff.
You kidding? They're looking at a porn going, hey, I can get my 12 minutes.
Nice. Nice. Hey, you know, this Wonder Woman, have you seen this new Wonder Woman, the latest Wonder Woman, Gal Gadot, I think 86. Is how you say her last name?
Gal Gadot.
Okay, yeah. Apparently she cut her tip of her finger off and her husband threw it down the garbage disposal. Did you hear about this?
that's where I throw all my fingers.
Yeah. The early days of now this is according to comicbook.com. The early days of the pandemic, this is her talking here. The early days of the pandemic, when you start drinking mimosas or sangria or whatever at 11 a.m. So I did that. And then I decided I'm going to make some cabbage salad because that's what one wants to do. So I started to chop the thing and I chopped the top of my finger. Yaron, that's Yaron, that's her husband. Went to the chopping board, he held the finger, and he got so disgusted, he threw it down the garbage disposal.
Have we been able to figure out how much of a finger it was? Christ. Are we talking like at the knuckle, just the tip?
Just, I'm thinking just the tip, looking at her hands and whatnot.
Just the tip?
Just the tip. That's how it all starts, right there.
Exactly.
Just the tip. Your sex tape. Just the tip.
Just the tip. You get it?
Well, I told you that story before, Mike, about Eddie George. He lost the tip of his finger on the Heisman Trophy back in the 80s when he won, late 80s, when he won the Heisman Trophy. Maybe it was the 90s. Yeah, 90s Eddie George, somewhere in the mid-90s. He had his Heisman Trophy going through the x-ray machine at the airport. He had just won it. He was on his way back from New York, getting this award, going back to Tennessee, puts the, or Ohio, they put the thing, the trophy, in the x-ray machine, and it gets stuck. So the security guard's pulling on one end, another guy's pushing on the other, and they snap the finger off the Heisman Trophy. So instead of the Heisman Trophy pose with the hand out, it's one finger down. So
one digit off.
Somebody comment with Wonder Woman.
Well, I got a Heisman Trophy question for you.
All right.
Now, believe it or not, I heard this from the man himself, and I claim BS on this, but I'll tell you the story. I was actually listening to Joe Theismann talk about the Heisman Trophy. He won the Heisman Trophy, who knows when, back in, I guess, the 70s, maybe
from,
early.
From Notre Dame. Yes, that's correct.
Right? And when he was a junior in college, the coach brought him into the office and says, hey, we're going to change your name.
That's correct.
Because your name is Joe Theismann.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to change your name to Joe Theismann because it rhymes with Heisman.
That's correct. A lot of it's marketing.
Right? So, and the thing is, he calls his dad, and his dad's like, no, your name is Theismann. It's not Theismann. Well, the coach says it's Theismann. What should I do? And he said, well, you know, your name is Theismann. So then, like, years later, he calls his dad again as a joke, I guess. And he says, Dad, how do we pronounce our name? He goes, oh, it's Theismann.
After the money's cleared, huh? After the check's cleared.
Yep. So, okay, do you know that to be a true story? Have you heard that story?
No, that's true. I've heard it from Joe Theismann himself.
Okay.
Joe Theismann used to, and I don't know if he still has a home here in Central Florida, but he's been a part of several different football organizations in the past couple years. Maybe 5-10 years ago, there's been smaller football things starting up, like the AFL, the XFL, and all this. So he's had a part in one of those leagues. I think they were called the Razorbacks or something in Orlando here. And anyway, he was around, and I heard that story right then from his own lips. So, yeah, I believe it.
Yeah, I heard it. God, on probably a DVD or a CD or something, but I heard it. I thought it was a funny story. And I always wondered if it was true because, like, probably 10 years ago or so, I Googled it to see if it was any kind of fact behind it or if he was just pulling someone's leg for a story. But, okay, you've heard it too.
So, the Flintstones are coming back.
Seriously?
The Flintstones sequel series in the works at Fox from Warner Brothers Animation. Elizabeth Banks to voice Pebbles. It's called Bedrock, and it takes place 20 years after the event of the original series.
20 years, okay. Well, did they do this before when Pebbles grew up and it was like a Saturday morning cartoon type thing? But I was actually watching a video today. I don't know if it was on, I think it was on Facebook. And they talked about animal oppression.
Oh, Christ.
Yeah.
Really?
That this was an adult, the first adult primetime cartoon or animated series to be on primetime. And the fact that they, they had a dinosaur as a garbage disposal. Like, you threw your trash into the sink, into this dinosaur, and your dinosaur ate it. And you rinsed your plate off with a nozzle, which was a mammoth elephant snout that came through the wall. And you had, you know, little squirrels on propellers, and you had on wheels to make on mix masters, you know, for your
who gave the knuckleheads at PETA the power to write? Because clearly that's where this is coming from.
Yeah. I got like 30 seconds into it, and I'm like, okay, yeah, this is complete BS. But I thought it was funny that, you know, like, oh, well, you know, they do have a point, but really, you need to be that concerned.
Flashbacks to, like, Jay and Silent Bob?
We've got to free the monkeys.
I am the Clit Commander! I am the Clit!
The Clit Commander! Well, according to Variety.com, in the show, Fred Flintstone is on the brink of retirement, and 20-something Pebbles is embarking on her own career as the Stone Age gives way to a shiny and enlightened new Bronze Age. The residents of Bedrock will find this evolution harder than a swing from Bam Bam's club. Wow. That was written very poorly. Lots of cheese. Yeah.
Animated series or live action?
Animated.
Wow.
Well, they did the live action Flintstone back in the day with the guy that used to be on Roseanne, the big guy.
Yeah.
John Goodman.
John Goodman. And the guy, the other comedian guy was Barney.
Yeah, was Moranis. One of the Baldwin brothers.
One of the Baldwin brothers was in that. Yeah.
And Rosie O'Donnell and...
Yeah.
Oh, who's the other one? Was it like Thelma Louise chick? What was her name? I always want to say Catherine. Not Catherine Hepburn. Not Glenn Close.
94.
Who played Wilma?
So let's see. We got... John Goodman as Fred Flintstone. Rick Moranis as Barney Rubble.
Okay.
Rosie O'Donnell as Betty Rubble. Halle Berry was Miss Stone.
Okay.
Wilma was Elizabeth Perkins.
Really? Why not?
Yeah. Then apparently Elizabeth Taylor was in it.
Wow.
The original Flintstones... The original one, the cartoon, ran for 6 seasons, 166 episodes on ABC between 1960 and 66. So this movie was off the air, Mike, when we were born. Movie. Wow. Listen to me, this TV show. Yeah, we still watched it.
I watched it as a kid.
Every day after school, it'd be on at like 3:30 or whatever. I remember that.
Yep. But why am I thinking one of the Baldwin brothers was in...
He was.
Maybe it was in a sequel?
No. Well, no. Maybe it was Viva Rock Vegas or something like that.
Viva Rock Vegas, Stephen Baldwin.
Mm. There you go.
Barney Rubble.
Okay. I knew I wasn't losing my mind completely.
And Mark Eddy was Fred Flintstone.
All right. Then who was Wilma in that particular one?
Wilma was Kristen Johnson.
Why do I don't know. I'm losing my mind. It's getting old. The thing sucks.
Well, they said in years after that, there were multiple attempts at new versions of the Flintstones show over the years, including the short-lived series, The New Fred and Barney Show, The Pebbles and Bam Bam Show. And
hey, Fred!
There have also been several Flintstone TV specials as well as 2 live action films. Apparently, Seth MacFarlane was developing a reboot of the series for Fox back in 2011, but that project didn't go forward.
Yeah, because he probably wanted to make it more adult.
More realistic, more Family Guy-ish, more...
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. And someone probably had a beef with it, you know? He wanted to make it more scandalistic.
My kids can't watch this. Well, good. Be a parent. Don't want to watch it. It's not for you anyway.
Put your freaking kids to bed.
Yes, exactly. It's on Adult Swim late at night. Kids aren't supposed to be up.
There's a reason it shows at 11:30 at night. Just saying.
Right?
I think cartoons nowadays, even the cartoon movies, are made for the adults. You take a kid to a cartoon movie and they're playing songs from your youth as a soundtrack, you know? They're trying to hook both of you.
Exactly.
Songs for my youth are now on the classic freaking radio stations. What the hell is up with that? I'm not that old for crying out loud.
Well, you know, they say 20 years is classic.
Right. You know you're old when you hear your favorite band's music in the elevator. That's when you know you're old.
Yeah, well, Green Day, Nickelback, classic rock now. You know, it can essentially be put into that profile. I don't think they call it classic rock. To me, classic rock is the Doors, you know? Allman Brothers. Not a, not Motley Crue, not freaking Green Day.
So according to Walt Disney World News Today, they're saying that, yeah, we've had some accidents recently with this Skyline ride, but we're okay. So people were stranded. This is last week. And there's been reports of another gondola incident since this one. I don't have it confirmed.
Oh, wow.
But they're saying that people were stranded for hours on the Skyline ride.
I hate when that happens.
But by 8:45, roughly 2 hours after the accident of two gondolas running into each other, the Skyliner station was operational and guests were boarding gondolas destined for Disney's Caribbean beach as usual. So my thing is this. I thought those cars sometimes bumped into each other anyway, right? Because they go around that swinging arm and that's where you got to quick get in or get out, right? At the station.
Right. Yeah, when they're off the track and they kind of just bump them up against each other.
But this must have been something major for them to shut down the ride and people be stranded for a couple hours.
Stop putting the little kids between the cars. Then you don't got issues.
Yeah, that's probably what it was. Someone probably got slammed. You know, somebody was in it, and someone slammed it into another one, and someone, you know, fell, hurt their knee, hurt something. There was probably an injury of some sort, and the injury is what shut it down.
Well, have you seen these Skyliner cars? Because they're not like our Disney Youth, where they were the traditional open-air cars. They're closed. They're all glass all the way around. Yes, you can't even throw stuff on people down below. What fun is that?
Catch the loogie!
Yes.
Yeah. If you can't spit, what's the sense?
Yes. All I know is now you're in a glass box. I pray to God that they have air conditioning, because that's going to get very hot very quickly.
Yeah.
They do, but I understand. Yeah, wow. They have to.
Wow. Crazy.
Well, and if they have air conditioning and lighting, then they actually have to be hardwired somehow. You know, unless you're going to electrify that cable. How would you operate? And I doubt it's on battery.
Maybe each individual gondola has its own air conditioning unit.
Yeah, well, I'm sure it does.
Well, they would have to. Yeah, it's just a matter of how do you power it. I mean,
is it hanging out the window of one of them like the 70s air conditioners we used to have?
Like a window unit.
Does it become a racist joke if I say someone runs off with it and an image comes to mind? We're all thinking the same person, right?
Yeah, the Disney World in Alabama has window units in their gondola.
So didn't those get washed away with the last hurricane, though?
Yeah,
that's crazy. That's crazy. So with this pandemic and when everybody running out and buying toilet paper all of a sudden, Kimberly Clark is in trouble. Their stocks are down. Their toilet paper torpedoes Kimberly Clark, according to Fox Business. Their stock is down. It's only down like 1% or 2%, but everybody's panicked because the expectations weren't this. Well, no kidding. Everybody got a truckload of toilet paper delivered to their house practically. People were building forts with this
stuff. Jeff and Susan are looking for some protection.
At what point did the signs and symptoms say, I'm going to be shitting myself? Why did toilet paper go through the roof?
I don't know.
None of the signs or symptoms had anything with the bathroom involved.
They had a 14% sales spike in the first quarter of last year, and when they didn't have it this year, oh, the world's ending. I think it started with one guy who was like, you know what, I better, and he loaded up his cart, and then somebody else saw him, and then so on and so on, and people panicked, and they were out, so they went to another store. Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. People weren't sure when they were getting, you know, they were being told to stay in the house for 2 weeks or 3 weeks, whatever the case may be, and don't leave your house. Well, I'm definitely going to pick up a thing of roll of toilet paper. So if everybody picks up a thing of toilet paper, you know, have you ever been near a store during a hurricane? You know, oh, I'm not going to be able to get out of the house for 3 days. Let's buy everything. Same thing with blizzards.
By the time
snow
I went into the army, we didn't freak out as much when we had four of them hit back to back.
Yeah. It's funny because you referenced those hurricanes, Charlie and Francis and all those. And at the time, I was in an apartment and I would hunker down at my brother's house. He had a block house. So we had it planned. It was like every weekend a hurricane would come. Break out the poker table, stock up on beer, make sure there's plenty of dog food, all that stuff. So just before one of the hurricanes, I see that, because we had spilled beer or something all over the poker table top that we had. So I said, hey, let's run over to Big Lots here. It's about 5:45. They're going to close at 6 tonight because the storm's supposed to hit tonight. Let's go bet this $20 poker table top. So he goes, yeah, okay. So we roll on down the street to the Big Lots, and we walk in, and we find the on sale $20 big poker table top, and we're all excited, and we go to the cash register, and the lady in front of us has like a bunch of batteries, flashlights, toilet papers, all this stuff. And she turns around, and she goes, well. And I go, what? And she goes, I can't believe you're out here buying a poker table. Look at me. I'm buying all these supplies. And I said, ma'am, unlike you, I don't wait for an emergency. I'm prepared ahead of time. Right. And she just, she didn't know what to say. She didn't know what to say. But I always remember that from them hurricanes.
Yeah, we were totally stocked. We were like, oh, 2 weeks in, cool. We're like now 6-8 weeks in. We're like, all right, now I got to find some shitter paper. And I had to go 3 days in a row to the store to try and find something to come out. That's how ridiculous it was getting. It's like, come on, guys. Out of all the stuff that we could, you know, plan A, plan B, plan C, we've got more than enough. We plan ahead of time. It's when you start getting bare, that's when those food shopping trips suck.
No, it's when people start hoarding, when people are buying like a truckload of, right. of toilet paper.
Yeah. And then for the next 3 years, they're not going to need toilet paper, so the stock's going to crash.
Expectation to turn around and sell it for a profit.
Exactly. On the roadside.
You're going to make your millions selling toilet paper on a street corner?
Think about those guys that were making a crap ton of money with the hand sanitizer.
Yeah. Yeah.
They went and bought
hand sanitizer around here smells like freaking maca.
So the ones we have here, we picked up, smell like freaking oranges. Or as Aaron would say, fruity pebbles.
The stuff here smells like freaking vodka. You know, we get it from distilleries around here. The distilleries turned all their vodka into hand sanitizer.
Our byproduct cleans your insides. Drink now, drink.
Well, listen, Mike, one more thing here. You know, I talked about the world's largest White Castle opening up here, May 3rd, 8 a.m. Our guy, Kevin Smith, is going to be in Orlando May 8th. Did you see that?
Of course.
Are you going?
Of course I did. No. Just for the fact that it's at the Dr. Phillips Center, their front yard festival or whatever they have.
Yeah.
And they have those pods, which are pretty awesome. Tom and Dan had an event there last weekend. The thing is with these pods, and even when you purchase tickets at any kind of concert right now with the social distancing, they make you buy all the tickets for that particular pod. So, like, we bought tickets last week for Sammy Hagar's concert coming up this summer sometime, and the only two tickets next to each other were way in the back. I could have bought four tickets up front, but, you know, I don't need four tickets. I need two tickets. So with the Kevin Smith thing that's happening, it's the same thing. You'll have a pod for four or a pod for five, but you got to buy the four or five tickets in order to stay.
But see,
there.
I would go and I would say, hey, let's go together. But they're going to make you wear a mask outside anyway. Even though you're 6 feet apart, even though you're in these pods, and even though it's outside, you still have to wear a mask. So I can't.
Hey, isn't everyone supposed to be vaccinated by like May 1st? So
it doesn't matter. You still have to wear a mask.
Yeah. You see my point, though?
Yes.
They want to push these vaccinations, but yet I still have to wear this freaking shit mask. When my 12-year-old, we're walking her to the bus stop, she's like, look, the masks don't do shit. You see the steam come out of the mask.
Yeah.
When the 12 gets it, come on, guys. Come on.
More than likely, at least here in Florida, I think that'll change by the time that happens. Well, it's going to happen. This particular show is next week. So I don't know about that, but I know they are laxing on the CDC today put out some kind of announcement laxing the regulations or the rules or suggestions on the masks, and I think that would go underneath the new ruling of being socially distant and only in a small group with people that you know. I think you'd be able to
right.
be around without a mask on.
Yeah.
Talk about the CDC and all the crazy crap. So in Colorado, we finally had restaurants lifted their half capacity, so they're running full board.
Mm.
The one thing I did like was we were able to set reservations before they open up the full capacity. Sushi restaurant my wife and I always go for a date night to, hour wait. Call up another one, hour wait. Call up Texas Roadhouse, 2 hour wait. It's like, wow. What the hell? Did everyone just like lose their freaking mind all at the same time?
Everybody wants to go out to eat, yeah.
So we went and did our own surf and turf. Nice. So screw it, we'll go to King Super's. I didn't bring a mask. I don't care. I'm over all this crap.
Yeah.
Not one person said a damn thing.
Hey, that's our music.
And we're all done.
Can you hear that? All right. Hey, listen. Make sure you go like us. Find us wherever you find stuff. That's real easy. We're everywhere. And again, Mikey Jr., thank you for joining us today. Mike Taylor Sr., thank you again.
Not a problem.
And we will talk again real soon.
Right.